ಕಾತಾ ಸಂಗಾದೇಹಾರಿ ಗೊತ್ತೆ ಜನ ಗಿರೆ ವರದ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ರಮೋನಚರ ವನಚಾರಿ
जय विष्णु पद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य शुतर शत शिष्य मात्र दंति गोस्वामी भाई चरण रविंद्र भक्ति दंत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नमाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की जय ओम प्रेम स्तको श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय Шиши Рада, Мадав, Гопи Гопинат, Рада Кунда, Шама Кунда, Гири Говартан Ки Джай, Вриндавана Мадура Дама Ки Джай, Майя Пура Навадипа Дама Ки Джай, Ганга Майя Муна Майя Ки Джай, Чулси Махарани, Бхакти Деви Ки Джай, Гаура Премананде, Арибо. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, Джай Шиши Гуру Гуранга, Джай Шиши Гуру Гуранга, Джай Шиши Гуру Гуранга, Джай Шива Прабхупада. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvati vyasam tato jaya mudirayet nashta prayesha badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtiki Намахам Вишну Падая Кришна Прештая Бутале Шимати Бхакти Виданта Свами Хити Намине Намасте Сарасвати Деве Гауравани Прачарине Нирвишеша Шунна Вади Пащатья Дешатарине Нама Махавадания Кришна Према Прадаяте Кришная Кришна Чайтанья Намни Гарат Више Намахам Панчататватмакам Кришнам Бхактарупа Сварупакам Бхактаватарам Бхактакьям Намами Бхакташактикам Хе Кришна Каруна Синду Дина Банту Джагатпате Гопеша Гопика Канта Радха Канта Намостуте Тапта Канчана Гауранги Раде Вриндаванешвари Вришибану Суте Деви Пранамами Хари Прие Джай Шри Кришна Чайтанья Прабху Нитьянанда Шри Адвайта Гададара Шри Васади Гаура Бхакта Вринда Хари Кришна 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 Хари 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 Рамо 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 Хари 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 Кришна So today we continue reading Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 6, verses 20 to 23. And the chapter is entitled Prahlada Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates. So I will read three first verses and then the verse 23rd that's on the board and we will read together. Параварешу бутешу, браманда ставарадешу, баутикешу викарешу, буктешвата махатсуча, гунешу гуна самьяча, гуна вьяттикаретада, экаева парохиатма, бхагавани шваровьяях, пратягатма сварупена, дришерупена часвайам, вьяппя вьяппака нирдешьо, хе нирдешьо викалпитаха. And today's verse. Kevalanu Bhavananda Svarupak Parameshvarah Mayayam Tarhitaishvarya Iyate Gunasargaya Kevalanu Bhavananda Сварупак Парамешвара Майя Янтархитайшварья Ияте Гунасаргая Кевалан Бхавананда Сварупак Парамешвара Майя Янтархитайшварья и я тегуна саргая. Сварупах Парамешвара Майя Янтархитайшварья Иете Гунасаргая Кевалану Бавананда Парамешвара Майя Янтархитайшварья Иете Гунасаргая Кевалана Бавананда Сварупах Парамешвара Майя Янтархитайшварья Иете Гунасаргая. Вайшнавис, плиз. Кевалана Бавананда Сварупах Парамешвара Майя Янтархитайшварья Иете Гунасаргая Кевалана Бавананда Сварупах Парамешвара Майя Янтархитайшварья Иете Гунасаргая Кевала, only, Анубхавананда Сварупах, those form is blissful and full of knowledge. Парамешварах, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lurer, Майя, by Maya, the illusory energy. Antarkita, covered. Aishwarya, whose unlimited opulence. Iyate, is mistaken as. Gunasargaya, the interaction of the material modes of nature. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.S.T. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable, means doesn't tire, is present in different forms of life, from the inert living beings, Stavara, such as the plants, to Brahma, the foremost created living being. He is also present in the various of material creations, or in the varieties of material creations, and in the material elements, the total material energy, and the modes of material nature, sattva-guna, raja-guna, and tamaguna, as well as the unmanifested material nature and the false ego. Although He is one, He is present everywhere, and He is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and... Oh, sorry. And He is also the Transcendental Supersoul, the cause of all causes, who is present as the observer in the course of the hearts of all living entities. He is indicated as that which is pervaded and as the all-pervading Supersoul, but actually He cannot be indicated. He is changeless and undivided. He is simply perceived as a supreme Sat-Chit-Ananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Being covered by the curtain of external energy, to the atheist, he appears non-existent. Purport. Not only is the Supreme Personality of Godhead present as a supersoul of all living entities, at the same time, he perverts everything in the entire creation. He exists in all circumstances and at all times. He exists in the heart of Lord Brahma and also in the core of the heart of the hawks, dogs, trees, plants, and so on. He is present everywhere. He is present not only in the heart of the living entity, but also in material things, even in the atoms, protons and electrons being explored by material scientists. The Lord is present in three features as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Because he is present everywhere, he is described as Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Vishnu exists beyond Brahman. Bhagavad Gita confirms that Krishna, by his Brahman feature, is all-pervading, mayatatam idam sarvam. But Brahman depends upon Krishna, brahmano hi pratishtaham. Without Krishna, there could be no existence of Brahman or Paramatma. Therefore, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth. Although he is present as a Paramatma in the core of everyone's heart, he is nonetheless one, either as an individual or as an all-pervading Brahman. The Supreme Cause is Krishna, and devotees who have surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead can realize him and his presence within the universe and within the atom. Andantarasta paramano chayantarastam. This realization is possible only for devotees who have fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. For others, it's not possible. This is confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita. Daivikisha gunama i mama maya duratya mameva ye prapadyante mayamitam tarantite. The process of surrender in a devotional attitude is accepted by a fortunate living being. Although wandering through many varieties of life on many planetary systems, when one comes to the real understanding of the Absolute Truth by the grace of a devotee, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyante. And Prahlada Maharaja's class friends, who were born of Daitya's families, thought that realization of the Absolute was extremely difficult. Indeed, we have experienced that many people say this very thing. Actually, however, this is not so. The Absolute, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is most intimately related to all living entities. Therefore, if one understands the Vaishnava philosophy, which explains how he is present everywhere and how he acts everywhere, to worship the Supreme Lord or to realize him is not at all difficult. Realization of the Lord, however, is possible only in the association of the devotees. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teaching to Rupa Goswami, said, Brahmanda Brahmita Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasada Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. The living entity in the material condition wanders through many varieties of life and many varieties of circumstances. But if he comes in contact with a pure devotee and is intelligent enough to take instructions from the pure devotee regarding the process of devotional service, he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of Brahman and Paramatma without difficulty. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, the Lord is present as Antaryami in everyone's heart and is visible in the individual soul covered by a body. Indeed, he is everywhere, at every time and every condition. But because he is covered by the curtain of material energy, to an ordinary person, there appears to be no God. the end of the purport. So, in the previous verses, Prahlada Maharaj told his schoolmates that Lord Narayana, their real father, not their physical fathers. And therefore, it's very easy to satisfy him. That's what is going on in the family. Son is naturally satisfying his father. And it can be done in very simple way, even by very simple means, like patram pushpam palam toyam. Like if you offer something very small to the Lord, he will be satisfied. Indeed, as Prahlada Maharaj mentioned, he will be satisfied even with the mere desire to satisfy him. Not just by the fact of offering something, but just by the desire. If you decide, I will satisfy him, it will be satisfying for the Lord. This is a mercy. This is how he merciful the Lord is. And of course, as Prahlada Maharaj mentioned as well, he is right in the heart. No need to go anywhere to serve him. And therefore, you will not become fatigued in searching for him. He is here. And you can offer your service right here in the heart. It can be mental seva even. And this point is explained in Acharya's commentary. The boys might have asked, is he situated only in the heart? Because you said that he is a supreme personality of Godhead. He must have many manifestations. Why cannot we see them? That was their doubt. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained the way the boys were thinking. Since we cannot see him, he seems to be powerless because he cannot even manifest himself to our vision. But the Maya instead, which creates so many other sense objects for us, make them visible for us, right? That must be Maya, this Maya must be more powerful than the Lord, right? It's good logic, material logic. So Lord cannot manifest even himself for us, but Maya manifests so many objects and we can perceive them with our senses. So the Lord must be powerless, right? That was the doubt, the schoolmates of Prahlada Maharaj. And also Srila Prabhupada mentioned in this purport that the boys were bewildered as they were born of deities families. Who are the deities? The deities, it's demons. And from the childhood, they soaked with the mother's milk that Narayana is an enemy. So all the deities, they are inimical towards the Lord. Therefore, for them, it was very difficult to understand how is it that the Lord and what are the relationship between us and them and why we have to serve. So, as Prabhupada mentioned, they were thinking that to understand, to realize the Supreme Personality of God, because of all these demonic qualities, will be very difficult for them. Why? Because they cannot even see him. So what to speak about having the relationship with him, perceiving this relationship, and even where is the question of pleasing him with this relationship or in this relationship with the service. And therefore, in today's verse, Prahlada Maharaj answers to them, the Lord is not only in your heart. The Lord is not there only to be worshipped. He manifests himself everywhere. Therefore, he is very powerful because to be able to manifest yourself everywhere, one has to have all power, right? We cannot manifest ourselves everywhere. We are like here in one body. That's our only manifestation, present manifestation. But the Lord manifested himself everywhere means he is most powerful. So much power he has to manifest himself. But why cannot them see the Lord? That was the question, that was the doubt. And Prahlada Maharaj answered this. And to teach them how the Lord manifests everywhere, he speaks these four verses. how the Lord parades all the cosmic manifestation. That was the point. So Prahlad has already glorified Bhakti, but still the boys are doubtful. They cannot accept. Why? And Arjuna clarifies this with Krishna in the chapter 9 in his unverbal dialogue with Krishna. He asks Krishna, you have glorified this knowledge of bhakti, saying that this bhakti is most glorious and it is joyful to perform. Why people are not accepting it? You already did everything. And Krishna answered, because they don't have faith, Arjuna. That's the crucial moment. They don't have faith. They have no faith in bhakti despite the fact that bhakti has been glorified. They think that these words are false. Therefore, they must take birth again in this material world because of this lack of faith. But now, to strengthen their faith and yours as well, hear this Aishwarya Jnana. What is the Aishwarya Jnana? Knowledge of my opulences. Aishwarya means opulences, different vibhutis of the Lord, which is needed for Dasya Bhakti. What is Dasya Bhakti? Dasya means devotional service with awe and reverence. That's Dasya Bhakti. Why Aishwarya Jnana is needed for Dasya Bhakti? Why the knowledge of the opulences of the Lord is needed to cultivate this relationship in Dasya Rasa? And Krishna answers this. Hearing this confidential knowledge will increase one's faith and devotion. So we cannot jump immediately to the Madhurya features of the Lord, to his sweetness. We just cannot do it. Why? Because there is no faith. And because of this lack of faith, we will not accept, neither appreciate the Madhurya features, the sweetness of the Lord. Therefore, as a beginning, should be Aishwarya Katha. Should be katha, should be nourishment with all these divine opulences of the Lord. For what? To sow a seed of the faith in the heart. That's what Prahlada is doing right now. So he's sowing the seed of bhakti, of faith, in the form of faith, describing all these divine qualities, describing all these features of the Lord. Actually, how it's connected, why they should be attracted. Because to have this respect and awe, that required to be attracted to their qualities, right? How I will be respectful to you? Because I know your qualities. Therefore, I will respect these qualities. So this Aishwarya, the knowledge of the qualities of absolute truth, is needed to develop this respect. And this is main feature of Dasya Rasa. Respect, awe, and reverence. Everything comes from the knowledge of Aishwarya. And whatever opulences actually Prahlada mentions here, all of them, they are coming from Balaram. It's interesting. Krishna is Bhagavan, and Balaram, that's his first expansion. So day after tomorrow, we will celebrate Balaram Jayanti, or the appearance day of Lord Balaram. And this verse exactly, like perfectly matches to the purpose of glorifying Balaram. So we can use this and show how all these features, whatever mentioned by Prahlada, actually all they is a manifestation of Lord Balaram. It's very interesting. I found it would be nice to glorify Balaram, to say something about his unlimited glories. And for this, can you please help me? This is it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, can you see something? It's on the chart. That's different manifestations of Lord Balaram. I'm not sure if you can see. Then if you don't, if you can come closer, it will be nice. Because I always have this difficult somehow to relate To visualize all this divine manifestation of Balaram, therefore I put everything in chart, and I found it's very nice just to have it in front of you. So first Prahlada says it, that he is present. That's first statement of Prahlad. That the Lord, that's first opulence which he mentioned. He is present in all living entities, excellent and inferior. That's the first statement. Who is present in all living entities? Supersoul, Paramatma. And this Paramatma is a portion of the portion of the portion of Lord Balaram. I have to run there. So, this is Balaram, that's Krishna, that's Balaram, the plenary portion of Krishna. And here is Kshirada Keshaya Vishnu, or Paramatma. So we will come to this, how from Balaram actually Paramatma comes. But this is portion of the plenary portion of Lord Balaram, Kshirada Keshaya Vishnu. And Prahlad mentioned that he is in everyone's heart as Paramatma, that that's just manifestation of Balaram. The second manifestation, as it's mentioned here, he is not only in the hearts of the living being, of the living entities, but also non-living entities, like atoms, different objects like we can see. So the Paramatma is also there. That's that same Lord Balaram, who comes into our heart as Paramatma, and also who comes, who enters into each and every atom. That's Balaram. Why he enters into the atom? Okay, as Paramatma, because he wants the boys to understand how everything is Krishna, how everything, whatever they see here, how the manifestation of the Supreme Lord. He wants them to understand how they can understand that there is a Paramatma in the heart, how make them understand. So how Paramatma will be visible, in which features. Krishna states this in Bhagavad Gita, I will manifest in the workings of your intelligence. That's exactly how Paramatma will be visible in us. Matak smritir gyanam apohanam cha. From me comes what? Remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. That's all the features of our intelligence. That's the principle of intelligence which is given by Paramatma. That's how we can perceive Paramatma in us, through intelligence. So all this will be there. Will be smriti. What is smriti? Remembrance or memory. And then two processes are there. Getting knowledge, like matak smritir gyanam. This gyanam, it will come also by the will of Paramatma. Or forgetfulness. The knowledge will be taken when it's not needed. And also two more functions of intelligence is there. First is smriti, that's the basis. And the second is vichar. And vichar, that's ability to reason, to analyze what we get, the knowledge we get in our memory. It should be preceded, right? It should be put in order, it should be ordered. So this ability to analyze, this is the vichar. It's called vichar. That's the second function of intelligence. It also comes from Paramatma. And the third is ability to discriminate. Yes, exactly, to discriminate. What is good, what is bad? Okay, I analyze everything. I put everything in the folders, different folders. And I put labels on these folders. This is good for me, this is bad for me, this is good for me, this is bad for me. That's called Viveka Shakti. That also comes from Paramatma. All the three functions of intelligence, it comes from Lord Balaram. It's interesting. I found we have to relate to Lord Balaram just understanding his glories. So he is Paramatma. He is a manifestation of Paramatma in the heart. That's one of his glories. And what is there mentioned? Yes. He is also the one who will manifest himself in Pradhan. It's called Guna Samah. Sama means what? equality. Sama means equilibrium. When the gunas are in equilibrium, that's what is called pradan. The sum total of all material elements, that's pradan. And this pradan is like a computer without current. Everything is there, but it doesn't work. So this is pradan. All total of all the material elements, 24 material elements are there, but nothing is going on. That's undifferentiated state of matter. And this pradan comes from Mahasankarsana. So even this pradan or guna samyak, as mentioned there in the text, that's another opulence of the Lord, it's come from Balaram. That's another manifestation. We will go one by one from the beginning, but I'm just referring to the text. And one more opulence, when the transformation of pradan is taking place because of Mahavishnu, from Mahasankarsana, Mahavishnu comes. Who is Mahavishnu? That's one Purusha, yeah, lying in the causal ocean on the bed of Lord Ananta. No, he's not lying. He's just directly on the surface, in the ocean, actually. He's sleeping there. He's Yoga Nidra. So from him, and it said he's the creator of Mahatattva. So pradan transformed into Mahatattva when the Lord Mahavishnu just glanced on this pradan and inject whom? The living entities and the time. And this is a current for this computer. Then only this computer, that's the power button. We press this by entering the jivas and the time into this pradan. And this pradan in which the jivas entered and time entered is called Mahatattva. That sum total of all material energy. So 24 elements plus jivas plus time. This is Mahatattva. So it's another manifestation of Balaram. And the creator is Mahavishnu. When he glances, it becomes like this. So it's like long, long different manifestation of Balaram. But we can start from the beginning. So Balaram comes for which purpose? Balaram's, that's a very interesting manifestation of the Lord. This is plenary portion of the Lord. And he comes in a very special mood. Krishna, he's the enjoyer. Okay, I can sit now. It's difficult to operate this thing. So Krishna, he is enjoyer. That's his natural position. And he comes with this abhiman, Purusha abhiman. Purusha means enjoyer. Abhimans mean identity. So he comes with this identity. I am a Purusha. But to be Purusha, you have to be facilitated. Like you want to enjoy, but someone has to serve your enjoyment, has to facilitate your enjoyment, right? Krishna cannot do this because he's just enjoyer. Someone has to come to facilitate his enjoyment. And because his ability to enjoy is the greatest, therefore, not ordinary person can do this facilitation. Because his ability to enjoy is the greater, someone has to come with the same greatest ability to facilitate the greatest enjoyment of Krishna. And this is Balaram. So Krishna expands himself as Balaram to facilitate his own enjoyment. That's a very crucial moment to understand. And Balaram, because of this, he comes with another identity. So Krishna has Purusha Abhiman, but Balarama has Bhakta Abhiman. He's the same personality of Godhead. He's the same Bhagavan. That's his feature. But he comes as his own bhakta to facilitate Krishna. And as such, he comes in a very humble mood. He comes in this service mood, and it's main mood of Balaram. And he comes to teach how to serve Krishna selflessly. That's the main teaching of Balaram. He comes to serve, how to teach Krishna selflessly. And because of this, actually, Krishna gives him all his power. Why Balaram is so powerful? The mere name Balarama, Bala means power. He's the embodiment of all power of Krishna. And Rama means, with this power, he gives pleasure to Krishna. Rama means to enjoy, to give bliss. So with this power, as with Bala, he gives enjoyment to Krishna. And Krishna wanted to show how his Bala, or power, connected to his mood of Bhakta. And Krishna wants to show that all my power in Balaram comes from this mood of selfless servant. That's how we become powerful in our spiritual life. The more we selflessly serving Krishna, the more we become powerful. That's how it's connected. That's how Krishna wanted to glorify Balaram. Why he is so powerful? Because he is the best servant. And he is most selfless. Therefore, I give him all my power, not just, you know, 99.999. All my power I give to him. So he is the embodiment of all power of Krishna. And the second, what Krishna wanted to say us, expanding himself as Balaram, that all our power, whatever we have to engage in devotional service. That's another point, because Balaram comes to serve 100%. Not like, this is for my enjoyment, this is for enjoyment Krishna. No, all his power going for Krishna's enjoyment. Therefore, he has so many manifestations to facilitate this enjoyment of Krishna. First, and to teach actually how to serve, he serves Krishna in five rasas. In all possible rasas, whatever we can have with Krishna, he comes to teach how to serve Krishna. Therefore, he manifests himself in all five rasas. Say, neutral rasa. So we can see Balaram. Again, I have run. Okay. Because it should be shown. Haribol. So he comes to serve in neutral relationship. How? To facilitate the greatest desire Krishna to have different pastimes in different places, like in the spiritual world and in the material world. So in the spiritual world, from him all the spiritual world emanates. Whatever is there in the spiritual world emanates from Lord Balaram. How? Because he is a sort of energy which is called Sandhini energy. And this is energy of existence. And this Sandhini energy creates all the spiritual world. So personally, from Balaram, he expands himself as Goloka, as Vrindavan. Wherever Vrindavan manifests in different places in the material world, that's the place created by Sandhini of Balaram. So he is the creator of this unlimited Goloka and Vrindavan Dham, the holy Dham, that's the creation of Balaram. Not only that, Balarama also, he's setting the scene for all the pastimes of Krishna, right? How all these pastimes will take place, some place should be arranged for them, right? So Balarama is setting the scene for all the pastimes of Krishna, creating the place, so he creates Goloka, but not just this. All the nice surroundings there, like picturesque, like whatever, like forest and grouse and different temples and rivers and whatever is there is also created by Balaram. All the animals, all the whatever. Not just this, but all the Krishna's eternal associates, they also come from Balarama. Then we call Nitya Parishadas. Sometimes Balarama is called Jiva. Why? Because he is the source of all living entities. He is the source of all Jivas here in the material world, Nitya Bada, as well as he is the source of all Nitya Parishads. So, men and women alike. Nanda Yashoda come from him, from his Sandini, and cowherd boys and cowherd girls, they also coming from him. This portion, because they sat Chitananda, so this portion of sat or energy of Sandini is given by Balaram to all of them, so they coming. And another portion given by Shrimati Radharani. She is a Kladini Shakti, so she also a source of all this eternal associate by giving them Kladini to satisfy Krishna. So both of them, they are the creators of all the eternal associates of the Lord. And then Balarama spent himself in the first quadruples. It's mysterious first quadruples. Nobody knows actually what is there. So Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Anirudha. That's the first plenary portion of Balaram. That's first quadruple. And the Balaram also is a source of Brahman. Because from Vasudeva comes Brahmajyoti. And Vasudeva and Sankarshana, this is Krishna and Balaram and Dwaraka. So, and Pradyumna and Anirudha is the son of Krishna and Dwaraka, and Anirudha is the son of Pradyumna in Dwaraka. So this is managers for the places Bhat Vrindavan, the places of the eternal pastimes of the Lord, Bhat Vrindavan. So what is this? It's Madhura, and this is Dwaraka, etc. Many other places in whole Brahmanda, which are there in the same category. And from this Sankarshana, actually, because he's direct manifestation of Balaram, and from this Balaram and Dwaraka, actually whole Dwaraka comes. He's the creator of Dwaraka. As Balarama himself, the creator of Goloka by Sandhini. The same way this Sankarshana, or Balaram and Dwaraka, he's the creator of Dwaraka, the holy place of Krishna to stay. As well as Mathura, as well some other places, Bhat Vrindavan. That comes from him. Not just this. Also, all the surroundings here beautiful, like to beautify this place, like with different things, with the nature, with the animals, with the birds as well. All the species of life also come from Sankarshana. And not just this. From this Sankarshana, all the associates of Krishna in Dwaraka and Madhura also come. He is the source of all the associates, like the same Sandhini energy, this portion is given by Balaram for them to manifest. That's all the queens of Dwaraka, whatever, Nanda Maharaj who is there in Dwaraka, and all the Yadavas who are there in Dwaraka, they come from this Sankarshana. And from this first Chaturyuha, the plenary portion of this first Chaturyuha is Lord Narayana. Narayana, who is the Narayana? He is a Vaikunthanat, right? He is the lord of all the Vaikunthas. And Narayana expand himself further in the second quadruples. And the same Vasudeva, Sankarshan, now he is called Mahasankarshan, Pradyumna and Anirudha. And they are the managers of each and every Vaikunthas, Vaikuntha Loka. So Narayana expand himself in Vasudeva. That's the same Narayana in each and every Vaikuntha, that's Vasudeva, right? That's the same Krishna who comes as Narayana. And all of them, the Balaram comes as Mahasankarshana and Anirudha Pradyumna. They are managers, like for each and every Vaikuntha, there is a set of Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Anirudha. Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Anirudha. Why? Because this actually planet, they are unlimited. And to manage them, it takes everything. For each Vaikuntha planet. For each Vaikuntha planet, there is a set, Narayana or Vasudev, Mahasankarshana, and Anirudha and Pradyumna. And from this Mahasankarshana, this is also direct expansion. Whatever is red, that's direct expansion of Balaram. So this Mahasankarshana is mentioned as a source of Vaikuntha lokas. How they created is the same Sandhini, which come from Mahasankarshana as from Balaram. And with this Sandhini, he creates all the Vaikuntha lokas. They come from Balaram. All these global spheres, gigantic global spheres, which are there, They come in from Mahasankarsana. Again, the surroundings, everything is there, all species of life, as well as all the associates of Narayana also come from this Mahasankarsana. Whatever eternal associates are there for the Narayana to associate, they come in from Mahasankarsana. And from the same second quadruple, okay, first from Mahasankarsana, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that this manifestation of Balaram, Mahasankarsana, Mahavishnu, Kshiradakashaya Vishnu, Garbhadakashaya Vishnu, and Ananta Shesha, that's manifestation for this material creation. They help Balarama to create everything here in the material world. As such, from Mahavishnu comes, from Mahasankarsana, Mahavishnu comes. And this is a Purusha who is lying in the coastal ocean. And from the skin of his, from the pores of his skin, all the material universe is emanating. And he glance, we already discussed it, he glance and all the jivas enter into these brahmandas. He is breathing, and with his breathing out, all the brahmandas coming out from his skin. And he is also the source of all the jivas of us. We are here by the mercy of Balaram, because he is the source of all Nityabhadas jivas who are here. That means we. By the mercy of Mahavishnu or Balaram, we came here, and only by the mercy of Balaram we can come out. Without mercy of Balaram, we cannot come out from here. So we have to have this Bala to be able to come out from this material world. And then, this is Mahasankarsana. And then, of course, we have Aniruddha and Pradyumna. Aniruddha, that's the deity of mind. And Pradyumna is the deity of intelligence. And from them, from the second quadruple, from Aniruddha, Garbhadakashaya Vishnu comes. And Garbhadakashaya Vishnu is the further Purusha who enters each Brahmanda to lie on which ocean? Yes, Garbha ocean. For which purpose? To create, yes, different diversities, to create the planetary system there. Therefore, from the navel of Garbhadakashaya Vishnu, the lotus sprouts, and in the stem of this lotus, there are 14 planetary systems. That's about our Brahmanda. In other Brahmandas, it's different stories. So they're more complex. So that's Garbhadakashaya Vishnu. And from Garbhadakashaya Vishnu, Ananta Shesha comes, because Garbhadakashaya Vishnu cannot lie like this, like Mahavishnu, because this causal ocean is spiritual, but these waters of Garbhadaka, they are material. So he has to have some, you know, bed. And he expands himself further as Ananta Shesha. So Ananta Shesha, that's another manifestation of Balaram. So all of them, they come from Balaram. And Ananta Shesha is there, and the Lord is lying there. So what they're doing? Ananta Shesha speaks Katha. With his thousand and thousand mouths. That's one of the features of Ananta Shesha. Ananta means unlimited. He has unlimited power to speak about Krishna. He has unlimited power to manifest himself. His manifestation, we cannot imagine, they are unlimited as well. And he has unlimited ability to speak about Krishna. And he speaks non-stop, without interruption, like millennium after millennium after millennium, one class, from the beginning of this Brahmana to the end. And who is sitting there? Actually, this is region of Patala Loka. This is Garbhadaka. And the lowest planet, that's Patala. And they beneath the Patala, like 30,000 yojans beneath Patala, that's the place where Garbhadaka starts. And they're there. And all the Kumaras with all the sages are also there, listening. It said the name of this Ananta Shesha who speak Katha there, Sahasra Vadan. Sahasra means thousand, and Vadan, mouth. Or speech. So with his thousand mouths, he just speaks. And it said that like a diamond in each and every mouth of Sankarsana, of Ananta Shesha, there is a diamond. And what is this diamond? The diamond of Krishna Katha. And all his heads speaking simultaneously. Can you imagine the Katha, which lasts like millenniums after millenniums from the beginning to the end of Brahman? Not just one head is speaking, all of them. And the ability to listen to this Katha, we can imagine, they can hear whatever all these thousand can speak and can remember and can accept it. So that how much taste this devotee have, like headed by Four Kumar, just to sit there and to attentively listen. That's also one of the features of Balaram. And actually, it is said by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that how this Bala, how this strength of Balaram will appear in our life. What is our connection with Balarama? And he said in one of his classes that to us, in our life as devotees, Balaram comes as the words of Krishna Katha. Balarama for us is the words of Krishna Katha. That's how we can become powerful. With the words of Krishna Katha, if we are in a servant mood, as Balarama teaches us, we can get all power. But for this hearing should be offenseless. What is this offenseless hearing? It's also explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in the same class. So this offenseless hearing or speaking about Krishna means with a service mood, with the mood of servant. If I am here to speak, to please. If I don't have this mood of pleasing Krishna with what I am doing, it's useless. It's offensive. Therefore, it doesn't give the same effect. We can hear and hear and hear and hear, nothing happening. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhu actually explains that Krishna Katha, that's our temple. And we come here, if we come in the proper mood as a servants, we will get the darshan of Krishna. Because Krishna Katha is a direct darshan of Krishna. And Krishna explains this. He said what? He said, thousands of times we heard already this. I am not in the heart of yogi who is meditating on me, right? I am not on Vaikuntha. I am in that place where my devotee glorify me or discuss my glories. So how does he come in this place? He's supposed to be here now. He's not a genie. He will not like manifest from the space. Just here, we will not see him. But how? He stresses it that I'm in the place where Krishna Katha is going on. My devotees speak about my glories. So I will manifest in the words of Krishna Katha. That's how Krishna comes to us. That's how we can get his darshan. And that these words actually have this Bala of Balaram. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told. It's not just Krishna, it's Balaram. These words of Krishna Katha, that's our strength, that's our force, that's how we can be very powerful in our devotional service. And there is a nice story in this regard, like we can testify, we can justify it as well as the devotees, like how strength, how power comes from the service mood and Krishna Katha. Like it was in the life of Shiva Prabhupada. Once he was very sick at the last stage of his life and he was in Mumbai. And he had to give a class and he had to sit on Vyasasan. He was taken there, but he was so weak, he couldn't even sit there. At that time, his body was falling apart, literally speaking, because it was almost the end of his life. And what happened? As soon as he started speaking about Krishna, that the miracle like happened and he started roaring like a lion. So much power and this ability to glorify purely, that it gives so much power. The Krishna totally transformed the body of Srila Prabhupada. He showed so much of this power of Balarama. So how this Bala comes? Through this offenseless hearing and glorifying the Lord. That's how we can be connected with Balarama. And also, one more thing I would like to say. about Lord Balaram being the spiritual master, because Krishna entrusted him this role of being a spiritual master, original spiritual master. Krishna can be spiritual master. Can Krishna be spiritual master? That's the question. Yes or not? Yes, Bhagavad Gita is given by Krishna. But why he entrusted this to Balaram? Why not himself to teach? He gave initially Bhagavad Gita, but why not him to give further? Why not him to give more knowledge to the devotees? So at one point he understood, I cannot set the example of what I preach. I cannot set the example. Because to teach, you have to follow what you teach. But Krishna gave to us Bhagavata Dharma, he gave Sanatana Dharma, he gave the process, of devotional service, but he cannot follow this process. He cannot serve to himself. Man mana bhava mat bhakto matyaji mam namaskuru. That's about us, not about him. He cannot be his bhakta, he cannot do puja for himself, he cannot speak to himself, he cannot think of himself, right? It should be done by a devotee. So it should be done by someone who will set the example how to show. Otherwise, there will be no power in this teaching. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to Haridas Thakur, Haridas, someone preaches, but not follow, but doesn't follow. Someone follows, but doesn't preach. But you are a preacher and you are a follower of what you are preaching. This is the example of Acharya. So that's how spiritual master teaches with his own example. But Krishna is not like this. He cannot serve to himself. He cannot set the example of a servant because he's Bhagavan. He's the enjoyer. Therefore, he entrusted Balaram, be a spiritual master. Therefore, Balaram comes with this bhakta abhiman, with this mood of selfless a servant, to serve and to set the example how to follow this path of bhakti. This is our Balaram. And as such, he has, probably we have to finish, but so many things to say. Okay, what to do? Thank you so much, and if you have any questions or something to discuss, I would be happy to answer. Yeah, but can you please speak louder, because... Yes, please.
Hare Krishna. Just a small thing, that you said that, does Krishna become a spiritual master? Can Krishna be the spiritual master, you said. So, in Vrindavan, the Krishna, as I understood, he's only enjoying, right?
We don't need what?
The Krishna of Vrindavan, he never is the spiritual master.
He never plays the role of the spiritual master.
Like you said, Krishna gave the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
But that is the Vasudeva of the first quadruple, as you said. That Krishna is the Vasudeva of the first quadruple.
That's Dvaraka Dish, Vasudeva of the first quadruple.
He's also that, so he's also coming from Balaram.
Yes, he gave Bhagavad Gita
so
finally.
It's always Balaram who is the spiritual master. And Krishna of Vrindavan is never a spiritual master.
Because he comes in different mood. Because Krishna has this mood of Purusha, of the enjoyer, but Balaram has the mood of servant. Only servant can set up the example of how to serve. Not master. Therefore, Balaram is the original spiritual master because he can set the example of how to follow. Krishna cannot follow.
Hare Krishna Mahārāj. But Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, he is Krishna himself. He is coming here and teaching us how to practice devotional service.
Yes. Yeah, but he is in the form of the devotee. He comes as his own devotee. The point is that only devotee can teach how to be devotee. So Mahaprabhu, he is Srimati Radharani himself. He comes with the mood of Srimati Radharani, the color of her body. And the mood of Srimati Radharani, that's mood of service, the highest service. So he comes as natural spiritual master, because Srimati Radharani is the highest spiritual master, because her love is the greatest.
In the human form of life, everyone is suffering due to ignorance. So there are three kinds of suffering: that adibhautik, adidaivik, and adhyatmik. Can you explain something about that?
To explain this, the different adis, or different sources of our suffering. Adidaiva means the suffering which comes from the supernatural powers, supernatural forces, like from the demigods, through earthquakes or tsunamis or, you know, some natural calamities. That's how we get this. That's daiva. That's how we get the suffering from daima. Adhyatmika, we get the suffering from our own mind, and from our own mind and body. That's the second source of our suffering. That's our mind gives us troubles, and our body gives us troubles. That's adhyatmika. And adibhautika, bhutas, that's another living entities. And when some create some problem for us, the different living entities, they also the source of our suffering, like in our relationship, or, you know, someone can do something for us at the third,
Can you say that what is the mode of goodness and mode of ignorance and mode of passion?
What is the mode of ignorance? What is the
mode of goodness and mode of passion?
All the three modes of material nature, actually, they are part of Pradhan, the 24th element, and they are the modes of nature. They are coming from Mahasankarsana as well. So this is part of Prakriti, that the all material elements, that's 23rd plus modes. That's Prakriti, modes of nature. And because of the interactions of this mode with different material elements, their creation started, everything happening. The living entities start acting according to the influence of modes of nature, and they create karma. So everything starts from these interactions of mode of different modes of nature with different material elements.
Ma'am, what is samsara? And what is Dhavanala? And what is Samsara Dhavanala?
I just feel that we have to stop here. Prabhu, I will answer you, but probably personally. If you don't have other questions, So thank you so much. And Grantaraj Srimad Bhavadam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi Haribol.